Let me see. Happy Father's Day, right? That's the first thing in order, first order of business. Happy Father's Day. So I am freshly back, me and Rachel from Tennessee. I don't want no more barbecue ever again for a while. That's for sure. Every place you go, that's barbecue. But we're glad to be back. A lot of interesting stuff. I won't have nothing to say yet on the convention until I get some thoughts together and meet with the elders and things like that. But it was interesting, to say the least. How's that? It was interesting. So we're back safe and sound, and we praise the Lord, and we thank the church always for what you do for us and sending us there. I think it's important that we go there, and important that we keep a pulse on things. How's that? But more than that, before we go into our contemplation and we come before the Lord, as the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So before we preach, Kathy, kind of just think about those things. Just think of the term worship. We come to worship. And, you know, people think worship is just singing. No, worship is the minute you walk in the sanctuary, we are worshiping the God of the universe. It's not only in singing, it's in preaching, it's in fellowship. Everything we do should be about worship. Right, Carolyn? I mean, even our meals together, our in our homes, and because God is king. Ron, he is the king of the universe, Judy. So this is all about worship. So as we get ready to preach this morning, I'm going to ask Miss Kathy to give us a few minutes of contemplation as we come before the Lord before we preach. In Jesus' name, thank you, guys. fathers do not get no special sermons like we do for the mothers. So let's go. We are going to continue in the book of Amos. But first I want to go to the 24th division of Matthew. And if we know the 24th division of Matthew, the context there is the second coming of Christ. And depending on what view you may have, there's a lot of different views on that. But I'm going to get to the less controversial part of the text, so to speak, so we can expound and get to Amos. And then quickly, after I read these few verses in Matthew, Chief Wright, I'm going to quickly go to 1 Chronicles just for a second. I better have that marked off because that's... Okay, so let me start, what'd I say, 24th division of Matthew, right, Miss Ashley? I'm going to start on the 42nd verse, and the context would be obviously the second coming. I'll mention that again. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think that he will. 45, who then is a faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in what? In pieces, and assign him to a place with hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here's my focus. So I want to let me give you some words. I like using words because then we can kind of line up words. A couple of words. I want to look at some people who are at ease. Nice. People who are at ease, Taylor. Just comfortable, relaxing. And then people who have security. So I want to look at those kind of words a little bit. Keep them in your watch pocket as I kind of delve through here, right? Now I want to focus on the parable. The parable starts where? Verse 45. There's a parable there in light of the second coming. So the context is the second coming of Christ, right, Miss Glinda? And then we got a parable that the Lord here is going to teach. And that's what I want to glean from here. Now, Fitzmyer proclaims rightly this parable. Now, hear this. It's not about delay, Ron. Rachel, it's not about delay, but it's about preparedness. Who is going to be prepared, right? What we're seeing here is, am I going to be prepared when Christ returns, right? Especially if the master comes back sooner than expected. Here's the question. Listen, let's lay it on the line. Are you ready? Are you ready when Christ, if he comes back today, are you ready? That's the question. That's a serious question because that's what's brought up here. It's not like it just like, you know, this is a serious question. Are we truly ready or we're faking in the game? That's a question only you can answer. And so I think right off the bat is a challenge here to me first and to all of us. Are we ready? For the unprepared, it's like being caught having one hand in the what? The proverbial cookie jar, right? Right. Carolyn, did you read my text again? I mean, she knows what I'm saying before I'm going to say it. Right? It's somebody who's being unprepared when, you know, your kid does something and you just catch him dead to right. Right? So that's when somebody's unprepared. Another word is we must be ready. We never know when the master will come. So I got a two-part question. I'm allowed to ask questions, right? I got a two-part question. How is our time spent? It's a good question, right? And where does our trust lie? Two questions, right? Do we find our security in our jobs? What about our family? What about our hobbies? What about our relationships? What about just living life? But here's the deal. All of us, in light of Christ's second coming, the question is, are these things time stealers? Are they distractions? Again, you've heard me say this. Satan likes to supplement the good for the best. You've heard me say that a number of occasions. Your job, your family, they're important, but they're not the best. So these things can actually become distractions. Our job, our families, our hobbies, they can become distractions. And I always say, do we supplement the good for the best? You know, I don't think anybody in here is going to go out and rob a bank this afternoon. Judy, you don't feel like doing that, right? I mean, that's not something you got on your plate this afternoon. And I'm not saying that. And that's what I'm saying is, it's the don't start, Clayton. So what I'm saying is, Satan will watch, supplement the good for the best. Your job, your activities, your family, your children. But they're not the best. And that's the question here that we see in the deeper sense. Snodgrass depicts, now listen, the delay of his coming does not lessen the suddenness of his coming, but is the unexpectedness of his coming which challenges us, right? Are we truly ready? That's what the parable is about. Are we ready? Whether the delay is short or long. The question now, so what's the question? The question is, or maybe it's better, the question, the answer, let me see if I get this right. The question is a worldview issue. Are we focused, now wait a minute, Cece, are we focused, right, are we focused on the eternal kingdom that could come at any time over against the temporal kingdom that's here today, gone tomorrow? That's the question. It's a worldview issue. What are you putting your trust in? Right, that's a serious question, Gary, right? Because there's so many distractions, so many things in this world that we're focused on, but are we focused rightly? Are we focused rightly? This is a what? This is, give me the word for this. This is a what? A discernment issue, right? We got to discern what's important. You know, we talk about this all the time. I get a million questions, you could imagine, about, Pastor, can I do this? And I'm sure the elders and get asked the same question. Can I do this or can I do that? Listen, there are some things that I can do that Glinda can't do. There are some things that Glinda can do that Rachel cannot do. Right? Well, Ashley, we've spoken about this on a number of occasions. There are some things that, you know, under, you know, the Bible says what? You know, there's freedom in Christ, but don't let your freedom become an occasion for the what? Talk to me. Flesh, right? Because, so we have to be careful. We got to know what we can do and where it's going to take us over the line. You know, so just that's kind of how we look at this, because we just don't, it's different for each person. I forgot to read Chronicles. Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to read it right here. Don't put it up. My bad. I know. And you guys didn't tell me. Look at that. This is important because of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what? Israel, what Israel should do, their chiefs were 200. Keep it right there. Listen, the sons of Issachar understood the times. Those are the dudes, then that's huge. I mean, in fact, I'm glad, Chief, I know you'll get me later. But I'm glad I brought that up now because we have to understand the times that we live in. And the sons of Issachar were those type of people. They understood the times. Just like we're talking about, you have to understand, Taylor, what you can do or what you can do and what you can't do. We have to understand the times. That's why here the parable is telling us to be what? To be alert. Or what's the other thing? Remember I told you to hold it in your watch pocket. Either you're going to be alert or you're going to be at ease, feeling secure in your own, whatever that might be. You can fill in the blanks. You can fill in the blanks there. Do we, like the sons of Issachar, understand the times? We live in a world that does not consider biblical perspectives. The mention of Christ gives us no voice in the world, but that should not change our perception. We got to be good thinkers. This world is short. It's a short time. Are we giving everything? Are we putting everything into this world? That's the challenge of the parable. Who's faithful when the Lord returns? You might say, well, I've been to, you know what it says in 2 Peter. Well, I think it's 1 Peter, maybe 2 Peter. I don't remember. You know, the world is just the same, right, Gary? It's just the same as it is. Well, you know, where's the Lord? When's he coming back? You never know. But you know what? In our hearts, we know this, Rachel, right? We believe, no, it can't be today. It's not going to be. Come on, if you think it's today, we wake up in the morning and, Gene, the question is, are you ready? That's the question. And that's the question here. And you're going to see how I try to line this up with Amos in a second when I get there. Let me see. We've been studying the book of Amos that the Jews were hoping. Remember, they were hoping for the day of the Lord. Remember, they were hoping for the Lord to come. But the question remained, were they truly part of the kingdom? Amos depicted that they were unprepared. Remember? Remember that in Amos, they said, well, we can't wait for the day of the Lord to get here. Really? Really? Are you ready? Am I ready? Are you ready right now to stand before God? And then this is the challenge of this section of this parable here. Now, let me help you in trying to see here. Remember in parables, in our study of parables, there's always a what? Come on. There's always a what? I'm going to give you a hint. A sting in the tail. Yeah, sting in the tail, man. Right? There's always a sting in the tail. Who said that? Where did it come from? Was that you, Donna? Good job, man. Give Donna an A+ on that. There's always a sting in the tail in the parable. And we see now, when you study parables, like I said, always a sting in the tail. We see that here in the term in 51. It says cut in pieces. Now, let me tell you what I think this says. Snodgrass depicts you get disqualified, you get cut in pieces. Hear this, because you have divided loyalty. Now, wait a minute. You notice, now you see that? This is an amazing, listen, this is the Lord here. So the term is, you get cut in pieces, you get weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why do you get cut in pieces, Jan? Because your loyalties are divided. That's a serious allegation. Are your loyalties divided? So listen, doesn't it go? If your loyalties are divided, you get what? Cut in pieces. It's a serious allegation, and it's a serious challenge to all of us, me first, right? So here we see this divided loyalties and cut in pieces, so to speak. Now notice verses 48 and 49, the unfaithful servants call him master. See, I always notice they don't say, well, they call him master, right? But because he's lingering, they think that it's okay to beat their slaves, party up a storm, a temporal mindset over the eternal. It's never going to happen. He hasn't been back for so long. Let's eat, drink, be merry. Today you live, tomorrow you die. It's the mindset. You know, that's how we are. We're a complacent people. Me first, right? There's the ill treatment of their slaves for temporal pleasure, but divided loyalty. Divided loyalty will keep your focus on things that are not important. You might think, Sandy, you may think they're important. You may believe they're important, but they're really not important in the scheme of the second coming of Christ. Remember, that's the backdrop here. It ain't like, you know, the backdrop, Sue, is the second coming in Christ. So now with that backdrop, with that billboard, what's important? Our children, important. Our families, our gatherings, But is it of first importance? What Wolves Harlan in Bible study today read from 1 Corinthians 15. What is of first importance? That's a serious question. What is the most important thing in your life, in my life? That's the question here, right? That's the question. I'm going to use those words, Miss Kathy. Are we secure, resting in our own laurels? Are we at ease? And you're going to see Amos get into that in a second. If I keep this up, we'll be in Amos in 2 weeks, but I'm going to get there. I promise. Divided loyalty will keep your focus on what is not important. And then what? Then what? 50 and 51. Then the unexpected hour comes and there'll be what? Talk to me. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. My question is to me first, what's important? What's of first importance in your life? Right? So you remember in the book of Amos, they couldn't wait for the day of the Lord, right? But and Amos says, no, you guys, you don't want that. Right? Let me say this, Kim. The world is on borrowed time. Is it not? But do we really believe that, Natasha? The world is on borrowed time. Because at the end of the day, it is not the world's time. It's whose time? It's his time. And only his time is the real time. And again, I cannot stress, what is our worldview? That's the question. What is our worldview, right? The slave who was commended treating his peers rightly and was rewarded for what was right, this slave did not turn, now hear this, this is Amos talk, this slave did not turn righteousness into wormwood, he did not turn justice into poison, 45 through 47. We wonder how much the world is focused, now hear this, Cecilia, please, I wonder how much the world is focused on the here and now, right? I wonder. It's a serious question on the here and now. What's interesting about this parable is the interim period, right? There's this, wait a minute, Chief, don't charge me. Ashley, listen, there's this interim period, right? You got this period between when Christ is coming, so this interim period, and there's these pictures of what people are doing, Nikki, in that period. What are they doing? Listen, we can look all holier than thou here in church, right? And that's okay. You know, we all, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and hey, hi, you know, pray, you know, praise God, and, you know, I got money for the offering. The question is, here's the deal. How gay? Where are you at when you leave the building? That's the question. Right? When you leave the building, that's the question here. This is a huge challenge of this parable for me, right? Because in the interim period, one slave is at ease. Let me do anything I want. He's not coming back, right? Not concerned about the master's return. The other's what? On the alert. See, here's the deal. Miss Ashley, you're either at ease, security of what you have, or you're on the what, Gary? The alert. You're on the alert. That's what the parable is teaching. We'll see this Amos in a second when we get there. The Bible tip, now here's the deal. On the delay part, let me use it better. On being prepared. The Bible depicts that one day is like what? 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is what? One day. As we travel back to Amos, there's such a temptation to live in the here and now and not in the already and the not yet. Let me say that. We like to live in the here and now. We should be living in the already and the not yet. The already Christ has come, but he has not yet returned, and we have to live in light, Rachel, of the not yet. That's the question. Either you live in the here and now, or you live in the already and the not yet. Let's go to Amos. Let's see how Amos, now what I did was, I just got over being jet lagged, so don't charge me on this. So I know I went over the first 7 verses, and I just don't like to hear myself talk, but probably I do. But Taylor, Taylor's going easy on me because she hasn't been here in a few weeks. But we miss Taylor, though. Don't we miss Taylor? Really? We do miss Taylor, right? And I went over these first seven verses 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to do that, but I want to do it. I know Miss Carolyn knows everything. I got to call you up for Wednesday night Bible study. I don't even know where I stopped. You do, though, right? Okay, good, because I don't. Okay, I want to read the first 14 verses here. But seven we went over, but seven's important. Because remember, what's the words I asked you, Miss Sue? Security, being at ease, false sense of security. We got those lined up. Now, notice what Amos does here. Starting in the sixth division, the first verse. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion and those who feel what? Talk to me. Secure in the mountain of Samaria. The distinguished men of the foremost of nations to whom the house of Israel comes, go over to Calneh and look, and go from here to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are they better than these kingdoms, or is their territory greater than ours? Do you put off the day of calamity, or would you bring near the seat of violence? And here's this at ease. Those who recline on beds of ivory and sprawl on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who impoverished to the sound of the harp, and like David have composed songs for themselves. They drink wine from sacrificial bowls. I mean, these dudes are partiers, right? They drink wine from sacrificial bowls while they anoint themselves with the finest of oils, yet they have not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they will go into exile at the head of the exiles, and the sprawlers' banqueting will pass away. This is our text today. I'm going to go over a little bit, starting in verse 8. Here's the answer. The Lord God has sworn by himself, the Lord God of hosts has declared, I loathe the arrogance of Jacob and detest his citadels or his cities. Therefore, I will deliver him up. I will deliver up the city and all it contains. And it will be if 10 men are left in one house, they will die. Then one uncle or his undertaker will lift him up to carry out his bones from the house. And he will say to the one who is in the innermost part of the house, is anyone else with you? Listen to this stark verse. And that one will say, no one. Then he will answer, keep quiet, for the name of the Lord is not to be what? Mentioned. For behold, the Lord is going to command that the great house be smashed to pieces and the small house to fragments. Verse 12, and we'll expound on this. Here's a question. Do horses run on rocks, or does one plow them with oxen? Yet you have turned justice into what? Poison. You've turned the fruit of righteousness into wormwood or to bitterness. You who rejoice in Lodibar or in nothing, and say, have we not by our own strength taken Carnaim for ourselves? Right? For behold, I'm going to raise up a nation against you, O house of Israel, declares the Lord God of hosts, and they will afflict you from the entrance of Hamath until to the brook of Araba. There's a lot there. But listen, we went over the first seven verses 2 weeks ago. But this is context. It's important, right? We talked about, remember these were the ruling elites. They were the ruling elites who thought they were exempt from any oversight. They were at ease. Remember, these people thought they were all that and a bag of chips, right? They had their houses in ivory. They sprawled on their couches, remote control, beer. Maybe they smoked a little pot. I mean, I don't know. But these dudes thought they were all that and a bag of chips, right? Sprawled out in the ivory, nice big screen. Nothing wrong watching TV, especially if you're watching the Yankees, but that's not the point. But these guys, they were just sprawled out. They were at ease. That's the question. That's the challenge, the charge here. But if anything our opening text has taught us, no one is exempt. In fact, people need to be careful. Now hear this, of misplaced complacency or misplaced security, being at ease. Remember, that's how I started this, Miss Ashley. I put two words up. I said security, ease, or being on the alert. Right? So either you're secure in what you have, right? You're at ease laying on your couches of ivory, remote control, whatever it is. Don't charge me on that. That's not the point. Or you're on the alert. You're on the alert. And that's a challenge. So what are we doing? You know, the Bible says redeem the time because the days are what? Talk to me. Evil, short, evil. But the days are evil and they're short. Right? So how are we redeeming our time? Do we just think we got a pass into heaven? Do we just think we have some type of bus pass? Remember bus passes? You don't remember that. You're too young for that. Remember bus passes? You think like you just got a pass? The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Right? So here's the question. Are you secure in what you have, or you are at ease, or you're on the what? The alert. Same thing. Amos ain't nothing changed but the zip code. Amos is telling the same thing to these people that we read in our opening parable. Now, in fact, the Lord, what's that, a phone, Harlan? Pick it up. That's okay. Let him on. Invite him to church. Listen. Okay, now listen to this. Now, we want the Lord. Now, listen. Forget about my answer. We want the Lord's answer. See, the Lord's answer is in verse 8, right? The Lord's answer is in verse 8. I loathe the arrogance of my people. I loathe the arrogance of Jacob, right? This is a declaration by God that divine his. Now, how does he know? How does he know this stuff? I don't get it. What do you mean? How does he know what I'm doing in my house? How does he know I'm laying on ivory? How does he know that I'm drinking? Or how does he know I'm, how does he know this? Because he's got divine scrutiny. And that's what this text, you can't hide from the Lord. I mean, these guys are in their houses. They're doing this, they're doing that. And he says, I loathe the arrogance of Jacob. You know why? You know why, Glenda? Because we should know better. Where Jacob is Israel, and that's the people of God. Should we not know better? What are we going to say? We didn't know? That's why the language here is used. I loathe the arrogance of, fill in the blanks, right? Complacency, misplaced security, being at ease. The Lord detects that the citadels or the cities that the arrogant live, right? No matter how secure they may be, he will deliver them up to foreign oppressors who will in turn will actually serve to be his arm. God will take evil nations and use them for his glory. See, that's the God I want to serve, Cindy. See, God's in control of everything. He will take evil nations and use them for his glory. Oh, that's not fair. What do we know what's fair? Oh, we're going to start that, right? That's not fair. Oh, we're professionals at that. That's not fair. What do we know what's fair? I know what's fair when I get mine and you don't get yours. That's fair. I mean, that's fair. I mean, that's what fair is. What's that Back to the Song Money by Pink Floyd, right? Give me the money, keep your hand off of my stack or something like that, right? Don't charge me on that, Rachel. I think it is Pink Floyd, right? I hope we don't listen to Pink Floyd anymore. I'm only kidding. This is how the Lord operates in history. He's sovereign over all. He'll use wicked nations to deliver his divine blows and put people in captivity. Now, the oppressors are not mentioned. We don't know the oppressors here. We don't know really the timeline here of what's going on. But we know that God does this from other. He did it with Babylon. He did it with Assyria. Even today, the government that we have in place has been put here by God. Listen, I don't care. Here we go. Devin, close your ears. I don't care about Republican, Democrat. The government that God has put into place is the government that God wants today. Good, bad, or indifferent. Don't matter if you listen to Fox or CNN. Doesn't matter. It don't matter, Harlan. Don't get aggravated. The government that God has put into place, it's not like, oh, I wanted the Republican to win. What happened, man? This is exactly what God wanted. Ron, I'm sorry. I am so, so sorry, Ron. You'll still take me to the dentist, right? Yeah. Oh, why do I get into that? That's because Devin's here, maybe. I got to I got to look this way. The government that we have in place has been put there by God, and whatever he's ordained through them will come to pass for his honor and glory. Now, that does not mean that he will not judge the government if they overstep their bounds. See, that stuff, wait a minute, Rachel. That's way above my pay grade, Dana. Listen, Kevin, so God, now wait a minute, let's look at this picture. This is the sovereignty of God. He takes a nation to judge his people. Wait, Judy, I don't even know why you want to go away, but you're going to miss all this stuff, right? So listen to the God we serve. He'll take a nation, use that nation, judge, and then he'll judge that nation for acting wickedly. Oh, and don't tell me it's not fair. We already, no, you're not going to tell me that, right? But that's what God would do. Because what? Rusty, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. The problem is we really want to be God. You too, Kim. No, Kim says, no, I don't. You see how quick she said that? Because we want to be like little gods, right? With that being said, even though God uses unfair governments and evil world powers to do his bidding, he will then turn and judge them for wrongdoing. Kathy, that's way above my pay grade. But that's the God we serve. Don't listen. So how about this, Kim, since you have all the nice answers today? Isn't that a God you want to be on his side? Okay. Yeah, the government's in trouble right now. Yes, tape. I think every government. I'll save that. I don't want to put it on tape. I don't want to put that on tape. I'll let Clayton put it on tape. Look at verses 9 and 10. Even though the smoke seems to clear, judgment will not be left undone. These houses will eventually come under scrutiny and be destroyed. Notice as the dead are being buried and no other dead are found in the house, there's an imperative. Look in the request at the end of verse 10. Don't mention the Lord's name because then judgment might stop. Now, come on. Now, wait a minute. I mean, these guys, are you kidding? Let's not mention the Lord's name so judgment stops. Listen, losing contact with God or not wanting contact with God does not stop divine judgment. The Bible says God's going to judge the living and the dead. Listen, I don't care if you never mention God's name in your whole life. God will judge the living and the dead. Everybody's going to be responsible before a holy and a living God. Everybody. Don't matter. I'm sorry, did I walk too far, Dana? Chief, I went too far. I'm sorry. This is this COVID stuff and whatever it is. I'm sorry. But listen, everybody, don't mention the Lord's name. What does that mean? That's going to get you out of something? How many times in our lives we've tried to mention God to ones who are lost? And they'll say, I don't want to hear about God. It don't matter. They're still going to be responsible to the living God. It don't matter if they don't want to hear about God. Oh, don't mention the Lord's name. What does that mean? What does that mean? You can't escape his hand. How can anyone hide from God? You know what? Who can we ask? Who tried to hide from God? Adam and Eve, how did they do? Right? This is a stark picture. All will face the voice and the presence of the living God. No matter, doesn't it go back to our parable? Right? It doesn't matter. Oh, don't mention the Lord's name. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Because God's judgment, all will be exposed. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 is interesting. No one's exempt. Great or small, right? It says verse 11. It doesn't matter. Great house or small house, right? Don't matter. Nobody's exempt. Divine scrutiny knows no bounds. Sin, listen, let me say it like this. Newsflash, Vodi Bakum, right, Rach? Sin is no respecter of persons. Ask Cain. Remember, the Lord told Cain, sin is what? Crouching where? At the door. Sin is, listen, it's no respecter of persons. Oh, I've been a Christian for, it don't matter. Sin is crouching at the door, ready to devour. And that's the question, and we have to be careful. But see, if I am at ease, if I'm secure, resting in my own laurels, watch out. But Harlan, Ben, if I'm on the alert, if I'm thinking with everything, okay, here's a challenge. I'm going to challenge Gary. Gary's an old friend of mine here. Gary Giordano, right? Come on, right? How's that for a last name? Joe Giordano. See, he's even correcting me. I forgot what I was going to say. See, every time that happens, man, that's crazy, Rachel. Don't shake your head. I really forgot. Maybe you'll come to me. Usually somebody reminds me. What was I going to say? Judy, you don't remember? I don't either. Okay, it may come back to me. No one will escape his hand. Divine scrutiny knows no bounds. It crouches at the door. Ask Cain, right? We live in a world, let me say this, that really does not believe in divine judgment. We don't, right, Sandy? Come on. I mean, listen, if you went and you go to people, they're going to tell you, I'm okay. What have I done? I'm okay. I'm doing okay. Am I going to be judged for my life? Listen, there's only two type of people in the world. People that are going to heaven and going to hell. That's it. That's just the way it gets. If you are not sealed with the sovereign God of the Spirit, now if you are sealed with God the Holy Spirit, that's got to show out in somebody's life. Right? You can't just say, hey, I'm a Christian because you said some prayer. Right? That's got to show in your life. And it don't matter if you're saying, man, I'm tired of hearing this, dude. It don't matter. Even if you don't care. The Bible, oh, don't mention the Lord's name. Ashley, I don't want that guy. He's too Italian for me or whatever. It don't matter. You are gonna all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us. And if you're trying to bring your own works, be careful. And this is where the rubber meets the road for all of us, right? It says, I got here, it says, Lessing depicts that the nations think that they are a field of dreams. But at the end of the day, all will stand before the Bema seat. What are you going to, listen, you can't bring nothing. Nothing with my hands I bring, only to the what? Only to the cross I cling. There's nothing you can bring. And that's the picture here that as we try to apply it to our text today. See, the Jews were saying, hey, we can't wait for the day of the Lord. We're doing this. And Amos says, the old fig picker, he says, he's a wordsmith. It's my buddy. He says, no, you guys don't want the day of the Lord. Are you ready? Right? The nations must realize they are under God's divine scrutiny. And without repentance, all are doomed. The question is, do people really believe that? I hope so. In fact, injustice is at the forefront. Look at verse 12. The language here. Now this is a tough thing. This is what this. So, Ben, I don't know. You got life application. So I hope somebody's got a good margin because I'm going to. Let me try to get this out. Look at verse 12. Injustice, that's the language here should read, do horses run on rocks? Now, horses don't run on rocks. Why? Because they don't want to, they can, you know, they're hoofs. I mean, it's an idiom. It's almost like parabolic. Of course not. Carol depicts that would be absurd, right? Because they ruin their hoofs. The other line asks, does one plow the sea with an ox? Now, that would be in the, that's a Hebrew idiom expressed. Of course not. Carol depicts that would be absurd. So if you look in, if there might be a little letter there, and you might have to go to your margin to see that. But that's neither here nor there. The bottom line is that, do horses run on rocks? Of course not. Does one plow the sea with an ox? Of course not. Carol depicts that justice is turned into poison. The fruit of righteousness turned into wormwood. In other words, love of God and love of neighbor are turned upside down. See, this is all about Rachel, don't charge me. This ain't about the social justice that you hear on. This is about love of God and love of neighbor. Have we turned that upside down? That's the question. Have we turned that upside down? That's what they were being charged with. They were taking advantage of the poor. We know the context. And I got it in there. So I don't forget it. We remember the context. Who was the prophet at this time before Amos came there? Jonah. Remember Jonah? He says, hey, the borders are going to be extended. Everything's okay. Who was the king? Remember Jeroboam too. So here Jonah, he prophesied, and you know, he was one of them prosperity I'm only kidding. But he was preaching, saying the borders are going to be extended. Everything's going to be okay. Jeroboam too, a wicked king that he was, right? He's happy and stuff. And then God takes Jonah and sends him where? To Nineveh. And then here comes who? Amos. And they turn around in the seventh chapter. They're going to tell Amos, hey, why don't you go back to Judah? Bring Jonah back. We want that dude. And Amos is here telling them, be careful because you're at ease, you're resting in security, and you should be alert. That's the context here. Just lines up with the parable. That's the context here. So here, like I said, Jonah prophesied about these extended borders, right? But they gave no glory to God. And under Jeroboam too, there was success, but short-lived. As Amos depicts, a nation is on the way because they took for granted. Why are they getting judged? Why? Listen, okay, let's charge ourselves a minute. Why do you think this nation was getting judged? Because they took advantage. Angelica, listen. They took advantage of God's kindness. Wow. What about America? Now think about that. This nation is being judged. We don't know. Amos is, we don't, descriptions. He's a wordsmith, but he doesn't tell us who or what or where. But listen, they took advantage of the kindness of God. And the Bible says they're going to be judged. Larry, that's serious stuff, man. Now, here's the question. Would nations have taken advantage of the kindness of God? Everything that you have, everything that you drink, every baby that's in this room, every morsel of food, everything that you have is only because of God. Nobody else, nothing else. There's nothing you have done. In fact, we have raped the world. We have taken the world of all its resources and used them for our own consumption. We've done that. We don't care. We don't understand that everything comes from the divine hand of God. And we don't take that serious enough, Kathy. Everything. And that's why we, nations and people, are going to be charged with that. Right? Let me see. We live in a world today that is measured by looking at one's successes. Verse 13. In fact, America looks at its military might, economic standing as a position of power without any knowledge of God. You are only breathing. The breath that you have right now, Cecilia, in your lungs, is only because of the kindness of God. That's it. We don't think about that enough. We just get up in the morning and breathe and we come to, and we think everything's okay. Everything that you are doing, the reason that you are living right now is because of the kindness of God. But you know what, Becky? We just take it for granted. Me first. We just, right? What is Doris Day? Remember, said, oh, I said, I'm just, right? What is it? Okay, said, right? I remember. I used to like the Doris Day show. But anyway, we look at this and we take advantage of these things. We look to climb the ladder of success, but at what price? At what cost? Amos gives us the other side of the coin, and that is God raises up and brings down. In fact, look at verse 14, that we have to be careful in resting on our laurels, resting on our own achievements. There's too much at stake, Gene. We never know, listen, we never know when we're going to have to give account. Never. Patty, listen, we never know when we're going to have to give account. What have we done with our life? It don't matter how successful you are, how much you work, how much money you got in the bank. That's going to be nothing. It's sinking sand. The question is, you're going to, Melva, Pop, we're going to have to give account to the sovereign king when he comes back. What do we do then? You can't go back for your 401k and show what you did. You listen, this is a hard issue. And Amos is a challenging dude. He's a fig picker, but he's a challenging dude. And he says, and that's why they tell him in chapter 7, man, go back to Judah, man. We can't take your words. Right? And this is, but you know what? Taylor, listen, Ashley, if we don't say this, if I don't say this, then I got a problem with the Lord, man. And listen, I love you guys. I probably half of you guys in here can beat me up. But listen, my first priority is to the Lord and to say what the Bible says. And to try to understand what the Bible means for all of us. There's too much at stake. You know, God raises up and brings down. Verse 14, we all got to give an account. Amos puts the world on notice. The question is, where's our priorities? Again, our opening parable taught us to be prepared with an eternal worldview, not earthly security. An eternal worldview. I beg you, I beg me, we got to have an eternal worldview. Don't rest in what you have here. It's not going to... The Bible says what? Dust and moth, right? Right? Dust and moth will eat it up. It's just not... It's, you know, fill up your barns, right? Fill up, oh, now I'm just going to rest. And then the Bible says, you fool, then your soul is required of you today. That's Amos. Amos is saying, what's your perspective, right, Harlan? Bible study. What is your perspective? Listen, these are serious allegations. See, it don't matter. You can shut off here. This is what you can do. Tune out, right? But see, that don't matter. It don't matter. Because someday, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of God. Me too. Right? It don't matter. Oh, the guy's crazy. Okay. Maybe I'm a little nuts. So what? But here's the deal. Everybody's going to stand before the judgment seat of God. Before the bema seat of God. It doesn't matter. It don't matter. You know, don't name the name of the Lord. It don't matter. That's what Amos is saying. Here, what do we got? Amos puts the world on notice, right? What does it mean, question time, what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? That's a good question. You know, you think of, listen, I can't tell you what you're going to do tomorrow. So what does it mean? Here's a good question. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? That's a good question, right? That's a serious question for all of us to think about. Because the Bible says that we do have the mind of Christ. Now, what does that mean? You know what it means? That we know that eternity is at stake. That's why he went to the cross. That's the mind of Christ. We have a worldview that eternity is at stake. We trust in Christ, not because of what he can give us, but what he did for his people. The mind of Christ is to know eternity is at stake. That gives you the proper, Kathy Lee, perspective. Remember, either you're at ease, you're secure in your own stuff, or you're alert. The mind of Christ keeps you alert, knowing that eternity is right around the corner. That's the mind of Christ. Why? Because he came to die for that. Christ came not to defeat a Roman oppressive government. He came to defeat sin and death. The Bible tells us that we've mentioned on many occasions to think on things that are above where Christ is seated, not on things that are below, which are best sinking sand. I think our government... Now listen, this is another thing. You ever think about this? Ron, you know, Ron used to try to hit me on this, and I didn't listen to Ron. And then when we go to the dentist all the time, you got to listen to Ron because I'm in the car with him. I think our government wants us to worry about so many things, looking at the current events at random happenings, and not as the working hand of God. Right? Like Abraham, we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is of God. I want us to look at a couple of more verses before we're dismissed. Just go to Revelation for a second. One second. Go to the book of Revelation. Go to 6 and 12. And then I'm going to read through 7:3. And then we'll be out of here. I'll be out of your way. Go to Revelation. I don't have to mark Revelation because it's in the last book, right? I don't have to mark it up. I just got to get, I know I'm going to find it. I want to start at 6:12. I hope I'm right. Oh, yeah, till 7:3. Yeah, I got it. Oh, good job, Chief. Okay. I told Chief this morning in a text, I says, Chief, please, NSAB. I think I wrote that three times to three different people this morning. I looked when he broke the sixth seal and there was a great earthquake and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair and the whole moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders of and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And here's a question, back to the question. And for the great day of their wrath has come. What's the question? Who is able to what? Stand. And after this I saw, three more verses, and after this I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth so that no wind would blow on the earth or the sea or any under tree. So his judgment is delayed. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the sea and the earth. Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have what? Sealed the bond servants of our God on their foreheads. Now, hear this. We're going to close here. The context here is that destruction is caused because of rebellion against God. And if one is not in Christ and not ready, there is divine retribution to pay, right? Watch. Now, watch this. The question is, what's the question? Who is able to what? Stand. Under this divine scrutiny. And that's a serious question. The only ones that have been able to stand are the ones that have done good works, right? No. Thanks, Kathy. People get nervous. What am I going to say? The only ones that are able to stand is if you put enough money in the box, right? Kevin? No. The only ones that are able to stand if you like the preacher? No. The only way that you're going to stand is if you've been sealed with the Spirit of God. That's it. That's it. If God the Holy Spirit has not sealed you, if you are not living in a right relationship with God, you know the outcome. This is the serious play here, but it lines up with everything we've been speaking about, right? This again is a worldview question. Do we, like the sons of Issachar, understand the times? Just because the Lord is tarrying, the question remains, are we prepared? Serious question. I have a right to ask that to me first and then to you. Are you prepared? Amos depicted God's people were at ease, and the Lord depicted that he loathed the arrogance of that mindset. But Amos also taught us rightly that no one will be able to stand against the Lord's wrath. Unless... Ron, you're sealed. Unless you are truly a bondservant of God, who in their worldview, like Abraham, are we looking for a city whose builder and maker is of God? That's a worldview, right? Or are we living in the here and now? Don't you love when them babies cry, right? I love that. But are you looking? It's a worldview question. Where does your worldview lie? Here? Right? And you know what? If you do, eat, drink, and be merry. Today you live, tomorrow you die. Really? Really? You know, and the Bible says that God reigns on the just and the unjust. He's such a good God. Even the people that hate him, he feeds them. Right? Even the people that hate God, he feeds them. Even the people that hate God, they drive Mercedes. They do the... No, I'm serious. I'm not trying to be... It doesn't matter. I mean, even the people that hate God. Chief, still feeds them. Right? I mean, and so this is a worldview issue. Right? A worldview issue. And here's the thing. Are we looking for a city whose builder or maker of God? As we ponder these things... Remember, pride comes before the fall, makes you laugh before you make you cry. But Amos reminds this. I love this with Amos. He said this: be careful as we run from a bear that a lion doesn't snatch us. In this case, the lion, the tribe of Judah. What is the comfort here? Carolyn. Carolyn always looks for the comfort. The sealed people of God will stand. That's the comfort. If you are sealed, Cece, you will stand. That's where you got to end. Angelica, if you are sealed, you will stand. That's what I put a period on it. What else can I say? I've said enough. The question is, where are you at? That's the question. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you guys. Let's stand. Dear Lord, as we close out in song, and we just thank you, Lord, for being so kind to us. As we unpack your scriptures, by God's grace, hopefully we were able to unpack them rightly and look at an eternal worldview over against temporal and things that just steal our time. I mean, there's so much stuff going on in this world and so many things to steal our time. My prayer for myself first and for the congregation is that we get, all of us get an eternal worldview. I think that's what Amos is saying here. I think that's what even in the parable that Jesus taught in light of the second coming, where is your perspective? Where is my perspective? That's what this is about. You know, and yeah, you can say that in 5 minutes, but I think as we look at the text and we look at how the text expounds, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, the same thing. Are you ready? Am I ready? Are we prepared or we're unprepared? That's a serious question. For me first. So Lord, if there's somebody in here that's unprepared, please, God the Holy Spirit, convict them, knock them overhead, let them repent and believe the gospel, which is the only way to salvation. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.